So joining us now, Louise Story, New York Times Wall Street and Finance Reporter. Good morning, Louise.
Good morning.
I understand you're in D.C. now, but we wanted to get your take on this, these latest unemployment numbers. It appears that they've just kind of met expectations. Economists had said that the unemployment rate would probably remain unchanged, and it has.
But, you know, they're actually worse in one way. There's the rate, 9.1% unemployed. That's the same. But there's also the number of jobs that get added. And economists were pessimistic. They said, well, we'll probably only see about 60,000 added. Well, guess what we saw? Zero. So this is really a gloomy report. And it reflects what a lot of people have been saying in the last couple of weeks, that, you know, consumer confidence has dropped, that there have been more layoff announcements in the last 2 months, that the gridlock over the U.S. debt limit and the downgrade of the U.S. caused a lot of uncertainty that would really pour through the economy and put hiring and growth at companies on hold.
We're speaking with Louise Story, New York Times Wall Street and Finance Reporter, and I'm looking at the markets right now. They say that this is the weakest numbers for the non-farm payroll since September of 2010, so for a year. Do you think that much of this is due to kind of the overall uncertainty and the tension among investors? Because that seems like that's something that could be turned around.
Well, it is true that, you know, now that Congress has reached the deal on the debt ceiling, for instance, that some of that uncertainty is removed. But there also were just a lot of negative economic figures that came out in the past month. For instance, you know, we learned that the U.S. economy, the GDP figures showed us that the U.S. economy has been growing slower all year long than we thought it had. And other figures showed us that the recession was even worse than we knew it was. And so the picture that has been painted is that we're really much further down a hole than anyone had imagined before.
In fact, going along with what you just said, this is the first time since February of 1945 that the government has reported a net job change of zero. Was that possibly affected by the strike by thousands of Verizon employees?
So that is one factor that, you know, people think, you know, when we looked at initial jobless claims on, they come out on Thursdays over the last few weeks, you were able to each week say, oh, about 8,000, you know, this week are probably due to the Verizon strike. So that's part of it. But, you know, that's not enough for this zero, because there were 45,000 Verizon workers on strike. And, you know, economists had been thinking that we might get 60,000 or more jobs. In prior months, we've been getting 85,000, 100,000 a month. Just to put this in perspective, you know, zero doesn't mean that the economy is where it was last month. It really means we've gotten worse, because just to keep up with population growth and changes in our population in the U.S., we need to be adding about 150,000 jobs a month. So adding anything under 150,000 a month is really a setback.
We're speaking with Louise Story, New York Times Wall Street and Finance Reporter, and she's responding to the unemployment numbers that just came out for August, in which the unemployment rate remained unchanged at 9.1%, and surprisingly, employers added no net jobs. Louise, I wanted to talk to you about one other story, a big headline that's in the news today, and that is the lawsuit that the government is planning against a dozen big banks, including B of A, Bank of America, that is, Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan Chase. You know, we've talked to you a lot about the fact that the financial collapse included a lot of mismanagement and possible misconduct, and we hadn't seen any prosecution. Is this our long-awaited legal prosecution?
Well, so this is litigation, which will be in the private court system, and it'll be filed by the regulator who oversees Fannie and Freddie, those two housing finance companies that are now owned by taxpayers because we bailed them out a few years ago. And so it's not the same as a government prosecution from the Department of Justice. You know, a government prosecution would have the possibility of putting bank executives in jail and could really levy all kinds of criminal penalties against these companies. This will be private litigation filed on behalf of these companies, Fannie and Freddie, to help them get possibly financial recompense, you know, to help them make up the money they lost from what they think was fraudulent activity in the creation of the mortgage bonds.
So what are the chances that the taxpayers could recoup some of that bailout money?
It certainly could mean that, because you know, however much money comes back to Fannie and Freddie, really what it means is we'll be giving them less money in the future. Every quarter, the U.S. Treasury has been giving more money to Fannie and Freddie just to keep them operating. And the reason we need to keep them operating is pretty much every new mortgage that people get today is either backed by Fannie, Freddie, or another arm of the government. And if they were to go down, essentially, most people wouldn't be able to get a mortgage at all right now.
All right. So it could be bad news for the banks, but good news for Fannie and Freddie, who are taxpayer-owned. So I guess that's, in some ways, a mixed bag. Louise Story is New York Times, Wall Street, and Finance reporter. Louise, thanks as always.
Thank you.